This is Audible.
Harlequin Audio is proud to bring you Between Friends by Debbie Macomber, performed by Amy Tolmage. 1948. Judge and Mrs. Leonard Lawton, 2330 Country Club Lane, Pine Ridge, Washington, joyfully announced the long-awaited birth of their daughter, Jillian Lynn Lawton. On January 15, 1948, 6 pounds, 3 ounces, 19 inches. Pine Ridge Herald, born September 1, 1948. Adams, Mr. and Mrs. Charles. 112 Folsom Avenue, boy. Adamski, Mr. and Mrs. Michael. 220 Railroad Avenue, girl. Burns, Mr. and Mrs. Harold. 456 North 3rd Street, boy. Franklin, Mr. and Mrs. Oscar. 33 Main Street, boy. Johnson, Mr. and Mrs. Gary. 743 Weeping Willow Lane, girl. Lamb, Mr. and Mrs. Dolphus. 809 South 8th Avenue, boy. September 10, 1948. 220 Railroad Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington. Dearest Mama, I thought you should know Mike and I had a baby girl on September 1st. I realized Daddy said I wasn't to contact either of you ever again, but I felt you'd want to know you had a granddaughter. We named her Leslie Louise, and she weighed 8 pounds. Leslie, because it seems like such a pretty name, and Louise after you, Mama. Mike wasn't home to take me to the hospital, so Gertie Burkhart, who lives next door, drove me. My labor took almost 20 hours. I thought I was going to die. But all that pain was worth it the first time I got to hold my daughter. She's a beautiful baby, Mama. She has your nose and Mike's forehead, with soft wisps of blonde hair. I think her eyes are going to be blue. But the nurse told me we won't be able to tell until Leslie is 6 weeks old. I wonder what the future holds for my baby girl. Will she grow up to be smart and pretty? Will she have a chance to finish high school? Dare I dream that one day she'll go to college the way I always hoped I would? Mike says asking questions like that is a waste of time. Still, I can't help wondering if those were the same questions you had when I was born, Mama. Did you love me as much as I love my baby? I'm sure you did, and I can't believe you no longer love me now. Mike and I are doing all right. We live in Washington State. It seems so far away from Mississippi. We are renting a 2-story house, and Mike's uncle got him a job at the lumber mill. He's working lots of hours, and I've been putting a little bit aside every week for when the mill shuts down, which it seems to do on a regular basis. Unfortunately, Mike was so excited the night Leslie was born that he got drunk and was arrested. I had to use the money I'd saved to bail him out of jail. I miss you, Mama. I'm not any of those ugly names Daddy called me. If I don't hear from you, then I'll accept that you agree with Daddy and want nothing more to do with me. When I look at my baby, I don't think of the circumstances that led to her birth. What Mike and I did was a sin, but we're married now. Leslie is a beautiful child, created in the image of God. That's what Father Gilbert said a child is, and I believe him. I hope you'll love her despite everything. Your daughter, Dorothy. Mrs. Leonard Lawton, 2330 Country Club Lane, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. October 12, 1948. Dearest Aunt Jill, I regret taking so long to answer your letter. After waiting 15 very long years for a child, one would assume I'd be better prepared for the demands of motherhood. I had no idea an infant would take up so much of my time and energy. I'm months behind on my correspondence and can only beg your indulgence. Jillian is truly our joy. As you know, Leonard and I had given up hope of ever having a child. We're both convinced her birth is a miracle, and we are so very grateful. I know how pleased you are that we named her after you. But you've been a mother to Leonard since his own dear mother's death. Without you, he wouldn't have any memories of her. Leonard is thrilled with his daughter, Every night he rushes home from court in order to spend time with her. She's already standing on her own, and it looks as if she'll be walking soon. I'm afraid Leonard must bore everyone at the courthouse with photographs of Jillian. In his eyes, she's the most brilliant, precious child ever to appear in this world. She has deep blue eyes and dark brown hair and a cheerful, happy disposition. She loves listening to the radio. Her favorite show is Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Leonard claims it's really my favorite show, and Jillian gives me the perfect excuse to listen. One show she doesn't like, I think it scares her, is The Lone Ranger. Every time she hears the music, she buries her head in my skirt. Thank you for recommending Eleanor Roosevelt's book, This I Remember. I've ordered it from the library, but my reading has been severely curtailed since Jillian's arrival. I've been making an effort to read during her afternoon nap, but the problem is I usually fall asleep myself. With her teething, I haven't slept an entire night in weeks. The poor child is having a difficult time of it, but the pediatrician assured us everything is normal. Leonard and I are delighted that you've accepted our invitation to spend the Christmas holidays with us. Jillian will surely be walking by then, and sleeping through the nights. I'll write again soon. Give our love to Uncle Frank and everyone. Yours truly, Leonard, Barbara, and Jillian. 1955. Mrs. Leonard Lawton, 2330 Country Club Lane, Pine Ridge, Washington. January 4th, 1955. Dear Sister John, enclosed, please find the invitations to Jillian's 7th birthday party. Would you kindly distribute them to all the children in both first grade classes? My husband has hired puppeteers to perform at the party, and there will be cake and ice cream for everyone. I would consider it a big help if you could let us know how many children we should expect. Thank you in advance for your assistance in this matter. Sincerely, Mrs. Leonard Lawton. Pine Ridge Mills, Pine Ridge, Washington, layoff notice. Effective January 7th, 1955. Attention, Mike Adamski. January 10th, 1955. 220 Railroad Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington. Dear Judge Lawton, Mrs. Lawton, and Jillian, thank you very much for the invitation to Jillian's birthday party. Unfortunately, we already have plans for next Saturday, and Leslie will be unable to attend. Leslie so enjoyed the afternoon she spent with Jillian following their tap dancing class. We'll have Jillian over to visit soon. I've had to withdraw Leslie from dance class, but we're hoping she'll be able to start back soon. Jillian's been teaching her the new steps at recess, so she won't be too far behind. These two have certainly formed a fast friendship, haven't they? I'm grateful Leslie has such a good friend. I'm sure Jillian will have a wonderful birthday. I'll get in touch with you about having Jillian visit for an afternoon. Sincerely, Mrs. Michael Adamski. Cake Radio dedicates the Ballad of Davy Crockett to birthday girl Jillian Lawton. Happy 7th birthday, Jillian, from all your friends here at Cake Radio. Now everyone put on your coonskin cap and sing happy birthday for 7-year-old Jillian. Pine Ridge Library, 300 Main Street, Pine Ridge, Washington. October 1st, 1955. Dear Mrs. Adamski, at your request, the library is holding Marjorie Morningstar by Herman Woke and Auntie Mame by Patrick Dennis until the end of the week. Sincerely, Mrs. Brenda Nilsson, head librarian. September 28th, 1955. Dear Grandma and Grandpa O'Leary, thank you for the Betsy McCall doll. I named her Jilly after my best friend in school. I can read now. Love, Leslie. November 14, 1955. 220 Railroad Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington. Dearest Mama and Daddy, Leslie loves her birthday gift. She's wanted a Betsy McCall doll for months. She wrote the thank you note herself, but then you could probably tell that. She's a smart little girl and can already sound out words. I take her to the library often, and she loves books as much as I do. Even when she was 2 and 3 years old, she insisted I read her a story before she'd settle down for her nap. Now she's almost reading on her own. Susan is eager to read, too. She starts kindergarten next year and follows her big sister everywhere. Mikey and Joe are growing big and strong like their daddy. Mike was laid off for 3 months, but he's back working at the mill again. We managed all right. I didn't tell him about the money you sent Mama, so please don't mention it. I bought groceries and a few chickens to raise for the eggs. I bake all our bread myself, just the way you always did, Mama. But my baking powder biscuits just aren't as fluffy as yours. Luckily, Mike never tasted your chicken and dumplings because mine just don't compare. I wish I'd paid more attention when you were cooking. Mama, I should have told you sooner, but I was afraid you'd be upset with our news. I'm pregnant again and due to deliver any time now. I thought Mike and I had a complete family. 4 children in 6 years have worn me out. But God had other plans. If we have a baby girl, we're going to call her Lily. I don't have a boy's name picked out yet. Mike said he didn't care what I named the baby. Since Mike Jr. was born, he told me I could call the babies anything I wish. I know Daddy was pleased when I named our Joe after him. You asked about Mike's drinking. He does like his beer, but he doesn't get drunk as often since he returned to work. Don't worry, Mama. We're all fine. Your daughter, Dorothy. 1959. Pine Ridge Herald. May 2, 1959. Leslie Adamski wins 5th grade spelling bee. Leslie Adamski took top prize at the 10th annual spelling bee sponsored by the Women's Auxiliary of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. She successfully spelled the word serum, besting runner-up Jillian Lawton, daughter of Judge and Mrs. Leonard Lawton. As the first place winner, Leslie Adamski was awarded a $50 U.S. savings bond. Jillian Lawton received a $25 U.S. savings bond. The money raised by the annual spelling bee has been donated to the March of Dimes for polio research. 6 5th grade classes competed in the annual spelling bee from schools all across the county. Leslie's Diary. May 3rd, 1959. I won! Jillian and I practiced and practiced, and I was sure she'd win, but I did! Jillian was happy for me. I would have been happy if she won, too. My mom took the $50 savings bond and put it in a safe place. Mom and Susan, Mikey, Joe, and baby Lily were at the spelling bee to see me win. Dad was with his friends, but that's all right. Afterward, Mom said she was proud of me and took us all to the Dairy Queen for hot fudge sundaes. She invited the Lawtons, and Judge Lawton insisted on paying for all the ice cream we could eat. I'm so excited I can't sleep. Mrs. Leonard Lawton, 2330 Country Club Lane, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. June 23, 1959. Dearest Aunt Jillian and Uncle Frank, Leonard and I are overwhelmed by your generosity to Jillian. We received the paperwork regarding the $25,000 trust fund you've set up for her college education, and it took our breath away. We don't know what to say other than to thank you both from the bottom of our hearts. I'm so sorry to hear you won't be able to join us in Hawaii this August. Uncle Frank, take good care of yourself. We love you both. And although Jillian is too young to fully comprehend the significance of this trust fund, Leonard and I certainly do. All our love, Leonard, Barbara, and Jillian. Jillian Lawton, English JMJ. September 7th, 1959. How I spent my summer vacation. School let out on Memorial Day, and Leslie Adamski and I spent 3 whole days together while her mother was in the hospital having her baby brother Bruce. We got to go to the country club with my dad, and he let us carry his golf clubs for him. After that, we went swimming and got a sunburn. The best day of the summer was when Leslie and I were at the pool at the country club. Then in August, my parents and I flew to Hawaii. This is the 3rd time I've been to Hawaii. I didn't get airsick on the plane. The stewardess let me hand out gum to the passengers before we took off and said I did a good job. We were in Hawaii on August 21st when it became the 50th state. My father wanted to buy property, but he says no one can afford $1.25 a foot for beachfront. I like Hawaii, but I like Pine Ridge better. Pine Ridge is home, and that's where my best friend lives. I feel sorry for all the Cuban refugees who are coming to America, having to leave their homes behind. I hope they'll be able to return to their homeland soon. There really isn't any place better than home. That's what I learned this summer. St. Mary Parochial School, 1521 North 3rd Street, Pine Ridge, Washington. November 2nd, 1959. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Michael Adamski, I regret to inform you that your tuition payment for Leslie, Susan, and Mike is now 3 months past due. We trust that you will take care of this matter at your earliest convenience. Sincerely, Sister Philippa, Bookkeeper. Jillian's Diary, October 23rd, 1959. Leslie spent the night and we watched Rowdy Yates in Rawhide. He's so handsome. Then we watched The Twilight Zone and hid our eyes at the scary parts. Leslie's family hasn't bought a television yet, and she said she doesn't mind, but I think she does. After Mom and Dad made us turn off the light, we lay on my bed and talked and listened to the radio. I called in and requested Bobby Darin's Mac the Knife, and later Leslie got through and asked for Paul Anka's Put Your Head on My Shoulder. I wanted to ask for Kooky Kooky Lend Me Your Comb, but the disc jockey said I could only request one song at a time. I think Ed Burns is cute. Leslie does too. Leslie Adamski is my best friend for life. 1962. Jillian's Diary. January 1st, 1962. This is my first entry in the new diary Mom and Dad got me for Christmas. My name's engraved on the front. They got Leslie one too, with her name engraved on it. We both planned to write in them every night, all year. My day started off bad. Mom and I had a fight about the bomb shelter. It's all finished now and takes up half the basement. Dad had it built in case of an atomic bomb. It's ugly, with bare concrete walls and shelves filled with canned food and emergency supplies. I told Mom that if Russia dropped a bomb on us, I'd rather die with the rest of my friends. Mom said Dad built it because of me and I should be grateful. She also said she won't have me talk about dying when there's a perfectly safe place for us in our own home. I went to my room and closed the door. Well, actually, I slammed it. I used to be able to talk to my mom about anything. I still can with my dad. He's older than a lot of my friends' dads, but he understands what it's like to be almost 14. Sometimes on Saturday mornings, he takes me to breakfast and I sit with all his attorney friends. Dad includes me in the conversation, and that makes me feel important. We talk about me going to law school one day, and I think I will. I like listening to my dad, and I'm proud that he's a judge. People respect him and like him. I bet there isn't anything he doesn't know about the law. Leslie phoned in the afternoon, and I told her about Mr. Hansen kissing me at midnight. I know him from breakfast on Saturdays with my dad. It wasn't a real kiss, but it was close. He kissed my cheek and told me I was going to grow up to be a beauty. I hope he's right. I don't feel beautiful with a mouthful of metal braces. The New Year's party was really cool, except Mom kept insisting everyone go downstairs to take a peek at the bomb shelter. She thinks Dad was prudent by having it built. She insists he was the one who wanted it, but I know Mom put the idea in his head. She mentioned it first and then found the plans and talked to the contractor. The concrete was poured while we were in Hawaii this summer. I had a good time at the party, and I'm glad Mom and Dad finally realized that I'm old enough to participate. I'm not a child, although Mom treats me like one. Jerry Lee Lewis married his cousin, and she's younger than I am. Leslie told me about her New Year's Eve. We talked for half an hour, but she's on a party line and we kept getting interrupted. She spent New Year's Eve babysitting for the Randalls. She said it was the easiest $3 she ever earned. Leslie hasn't been kissed for real either. I don't understand why, because she's super pretty and smart, too. She's pretty enough to be a high school cheerleader if she wanted. I told her she should try out next year, but she can't, because her mother needs her to help at home. She has 5 brothers and sisters now. I wish Leslie was my sister. Her mother hasn't been feeling very well since Bruce was born, and her father doesn't always have a job. But Leslie never complains. In all the years we've been best friends, I've only stayed the night at her house once, and then we camped outside. I don't mind, though. I think Mom and Dad prefer that she comes here, and they don't need to tell me why, either. Mr. Adamski drinks too much. Sometimes when I call Leslie, I can hear him yelling in the background. Larry Martin phoned after dinner and asked if I'd be at the boys' basketball game next Saturday. I told him I would. Mom and Dad have already told me they want me to attend Holy Name Academy next year. I don't think I'm going to like attending an all-girls school. But it'll be all right as long as Leslie is there, too. No one else phoned, and I lay on my bed and listen to music for the rest of the afternoon. I like Roy Orbison and the Supremes the best. Mostly I thought about next year and high school and wondered if I'd ever be kissed for real and by whom. Leslie says I probably will be soon. Maybe Larry will kiss me. I wonder if it's possible for Leslie and me to be kissed on the very same night. That way we won't have to worry about who was first. I don't care what Mom says. I'm not going into that bomb shelter without Leslie. We've been friends our entire lives, and I refuse to let her die because her family can't afford to build a bomb shelter. Pine Ridge Herald, May 29, 1962. Top 10 students from St. Mary Junior High named. The Sisters of Providence have named the top 10 students from the 8th grade graduating class. They are listed in order of ranking. Jillian Lawton, Leslie Adamski, Jerry Englehart, Marilyn Andrews, Bonnie Gamache, Bernard Simmons, Yvette Dwight, David Tama, Steve Bounds, and Diane Carey. Each student received a $25 scholarship toward tuition at either Holy Name Academy or Marquette High School. July 10, 1962. 220 Railroad Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington. Dear Judge and Mrs. Lawton, thank you so much for inviting me to the Seattle World's Fair with you and Jillian. I had a wonderful time, even if we didn't get to see Elvis. I especially loved taking the elevator to the top of the Space Needle and riding on the monorail. I'm sorry I can't go to Hawaii with Jillian, but my mom and dad need me at home. It was very nice of you to include me. Perhaps someday I'll see the islands. Thank you again. Sincerely, Leslie Adamski. August 8, 1962. Dear Jillian, summer is so boring without you. I wish I could be with you in Hawaii, but I need the babysitting money for my school uniform. Did you hear that Marilyn Monroe died? Mom didn't like her because she was too sexy. Susan and I went to the movies last Saturday and saw John Wayne in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. It was good, but I would have had more fun with you than my little sister. Dad said spending 25 cents to see a movie is a waste. I didn't tell him popcorn went up to 10 cents a bag. Call me over at Mrs. Johnson's house the minute you get home. I have a lot to tell you. Your best friend forever, Leslie. September 4th, English class. Leslie, here we are, the first day of high school. Don't you just want to die with happiness? I was disappointed we aren't in the same home room, though. Someone must have told Sister Anna Marie that you and I are best friends. They want to keep us apart, but nothing ever will. At least we've got English and algebra together. Can you meet me after school? We need to practice the Watusi. I can do the bossa nova, but this new dance is more complicated. Thank you for saying I can twist better than Chubby Checker. Now all we need is for a couple of boys to invite us to a dance so we can show everyone how good we are. I heard Sister Bernice grades easy in English. Jillian. October 22nd, algebra class. Jillian, do you think we're going to war? This is so scary. Even my dad was talking about it. I can't concentrate on algebra, can you? Mom went to Mass this morning to pray for peace. Cuba wouldn't really bomb us, would they? Leslie. Algebra class. Leslie, I don't know if there will be a war or not, but if there is, you can come in the bomb shelter with me. I've already told my parents that I refuse to go inside without you. Do you want to sleep over tonight? We can camp out in the shelter. In case something does happen, we'll be safe. Jillian. P.S. If the politicians listened to the music of Joan Baez and the new Christy Minstrels, I bet this wouldn't be happening. Holy Name Academy, 231st Street, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005, November 1st, 1962. Dear Judge and Mrs. Lawton, thank you for your generous financial contribution to Holy Name Academy. It is because of benefactors such as yourselves that the Sisters of Providence are able to offer high-quality education to the young Catholic women of Pine Ridge. You can trust that the matter of the scholarships for Leslie and Susan Adamski will be handled in the most discreet manner possible. Neither the girls nor their parents need ever know that you have paid their tuition in advance. I have discussed the matter with Mother Superior. She felt it would be best if the girls were awarded scholarships and nothing more was said. I'm confident, however, that if Leslie and Susan Adamski were aware of your generosity, they would express their gratitude personally. Again, your generous check is appreciated. In Christ's service, Sister Martin de Porres. Leslie's Diary, December 4th, 1962. Scott kissed Jillian, and she said it was the most romantic, wonderful event of her entire life. She asked Scott McDougall to the Sadie Hawkins dance, and I asked Roy Kloster. Jillian's dad picked us all up in his new Cadillac. It was my first official date, and Roy brought me a corsage. My mother pinned it on my dress, and then embarrassed me by saying in front of Roy how pretty I was. Jillian and I spent all afternoon with our hair in pink rollers, the hard plastic ones. Her mother said we used enough hairspray for our hairdos to survive hurricane-force winds. I was barely home from the dance when Jillian phoned to tell me that Scott kissed her. She described everything he did, and it sounded better than anything we've read in modern screen magazine or movie life. I don't think I'll ever be kissed. I'm planning on joining the Peace Corps and dedicating my life to helping children in Africa. I wanted Roy to kiss me, but all he did was hold my hand. He barely spoke to me all evening. I didn't talk much either. I knew Roy from junior high, and when I called to ask him to the dance, he sounded like he wanted to go. Mikey has a paper route now, and he delivers to Roy's house on Maple Street. He thinks Roy wants me to be his girlfriend. Mom said Roy is shy, but I am too. If we're both afraid to talk, we could be 17 before either one of us gets up the courage to do more than gawk at the other. I want romance and music, the same way Jillian had with Scott. Maybe someday I'll meet a boy who won't be afraid to kiss me, and I won't be afraid to let him. Until then, I'm keeping the idea of joining the Peace Corps in the back of my mind. Even if Roy didn't kiss me, I had a wonderful time at the dance. I'm going to sleep now and dream about being kissed. Susan's still awake, and she keeps pestering me. She thinks I should kiss Dr. Kildare. If I can't get Roy Kloster interested in me, there isn't much chance a famous television star like Richard Chamberlain would want to kiss me. Besides, I like Ben Casey better. 1963. Leslie's Diary. January 1st, 1963. Mom and Dad had another one of their fights. They woke all us kids in the middle of the night, ranting and raving at each other. Lily and Bruce came racing into Susan's and my bedroom and climbed into bed with us. I don't know what the fight was about this time. Probably money. Or Dad's drinking. I wish he didn't drink so much, but he says a beer or two never hurt anybody. Only it does. It hurts Mom when Dad gets so mean. It frightens Lily and Bruce. They're too young to understand what's happening or why Dad gets the way he does. All he cares about is his beer, his Legionnaire friends, and watching the Beverly Hillbillies. Christmas was awful. Dad got laid off at the mill before Thanksgiving, and we couldn't afford gifts. Mom wrapped up empty boxes with handwritten promises. She promised me a new pair of shoes and a Beatles album after Dad goes back to work. She promised Susan a perm and Mikey a used bike for his paper route. Joe got a picture of a fire truck and Lily a doll that cries Mama when she's turned upside down. Bruce didn't understand why he couldn't have his big red wagon now. I don't know what we would have done for Christmas dinner if Catholic Charities hadn't dropped off the food basket. I'd hate it if anyone at school found out how poor we really are. I'd die before I'd tell Jillian about my pretend gift. Her parents had 22 gifts under the tree for her. I can't imagine what it must be like to have that many presents. They're so nice, her mom and dad. They always give me something for Christmas. I got this new diary with my name on it, just like last year, and a beautiful blue sweater. I know envy is a sin, and Jillian's my best friend, but I wish I had parents like hers. I'm sure the nightmare Lily had was caused by Mom and Dad's argument. She slept with me the rest of the night and woke up sobbing and wouldn't tell me what was wrong. Then she clung to me and made me promise I'd never grow up and move away. She wouldn't stop pestering me until I told her I'd live at home forever. But I crossed my ankles when I said it. I want to leave. I can't wait to get away from my father. Jillian and I talk about college. Her parents want her to attend Barnard College in New York. Everything's already been settled for her. She has a big trust fund to pay for college. I pretend there's a chance I'll be able to go, but Mom and Dad could never afford to send me. Jillian doesn't realize how lucky she is. Even if we were rich, I don't think Dad would let me go to college. He told me he didn't plan on wasting money to educate girls, seeing that we wouldn't be the ones supporting a family. I wanted to stand up to him and tell him that plenty of girls go to university these days, but I knew it wouldn't do any good to argue. He'd only get mad at what he calls my smart mouth and belittle me. I think it's because he didn't graduate from high school and is afraid I'll be smarter than he is. Mom said if I continued to get good grades, there's a possibility I might get a scholarship. She said that if I did, she'd do whatever was necessary to find a way for me to attend college, even if that meant taking a second job. I know how much she hates working at the school cafeteria, but Mom said she'd be willing to work there and scrub floors too, if it meant I could go to college. I wanted to cry, I was so happy. Mom was serious too, I could see it in her eyes. Then she held me against her, tight as could be, and said, "Where there's a will, there's a way." 100 gifts under the Christmas tree couldn't have made me happier than I was at that moment. February 20th, 1963. Dear Ann Landers, I've tried to write this letter a dozen times. Please help me. My husband's involved with another woman. I pretend I don't know about her, but I do, and it's eating me up inside. We have 6 children. Don't tell me to leave him, because I can't. I feel trapped and miserable and stupid. Dorothy A. from the Seattle area. March 7th, English class. Les. Want to spend the night on Friday? Jillian. P.S. Why do elephants have trunks? Because they don't have glove compartments. English class. Jillian. I'll have to clear it with my mom first, but I think so. Let's stay up all night and talk, okay? Do you have any new records? Did you notice the new boy at First Friday Mass? He's cute. Leslie. P.S. Why do elephants climb trees? To hide. Jillian's Diary. March 10th, 1963. Leslie and I had the best time ever. Mom and Dad were involved in some social function at the country club all weekend, so we had the house to ourselves. On Friday, we stayed up all night and read Profiles in Courage by John F. Kennedy. We did it for extra credit in Sister Sebastian's English class, but it was the best book I ever read on purpose about history. First, Leslie would read a chapter aloud, and then I'd read the next one. We didn't mean to finish the entire book, but we couldn't stop reading. Leslie said I look a little bit like Jackie Kennedy. Jackie's much prettier than I am and so graceful and elegant. The only reason Leslie said that is because Jackie and I both have dark hair. It would be like me saying Leslie looks like Marilyn Monroe did before she died because she's blonde. Anyway, after we read, we listened to the radio. My favorite singer is still Roy Orbison, and Leslie likes Peter, Paul, and Mary. We talked for a long time afterward. Mostly it was about boys and school. I'd rather go to a co-ed high school, but an all-girls school is okay, too. I bet we'd meet more guys, though, if we went to a regular school. I wonder what it would be like to fall in love and marry. Leslie insists that she doesn't want to get married until she's out of college, but I do. I want a romance just like John and Jackie Kennedy's. I don't know anyone I'd want to marry yet. Not even Scott. I asked Mom how she knew Dad was the right man for her, and she got a goofy look on her face and said she just knew. That didn't tell me anything. It was the same way last year when my period started. Mom hardly explained anything. She seemed embarrassed about it, mumbled a few words, and then handed me 2 safety pins and a pad. If it hadn't been for Leslie starting first, I wouldn't have known what to do. In biology class, Sister Mary Claire said that our periods tie in with having babies, but I'm still not sure how. It's like a deep, dark mystery no one wants to talk about. Leslie tried to check out a book at the library that explained everything, but the librarian said she had to be 18 to take it out of the building. When we went back to read it together, the book was missing. Leslie thinks the librarian saw us coming and hid it. Oh, I almost forgot. My birthday gift finally arrived. I have my own television now. I don't know anyone else in school who has her own TV. Dad had it built right into the wall. Leslie's going to spend the night next month so we can watch the Oscars. I really hope Sidney Poitier wins Best Actor for Lilies of the Field. Leslie and I liked that movie better than any of the other movies we saw this year. Everyone talked about how wicked Tom Jones was, but I just thought it was silly. Leslie and I both learned something valuable from that movie. Neither of us can tell a lie and not feel guilty about it. We told our parents we were going to some other show, and instead we went to Tom Jones, and we both regretted lying. It was hard because Dad picked us up afterward, and I wanted to blurt out the truth the moment I saw him. I didn't, but he knew something was bothering me. Dad didn't pressure me into telling him, and I'm glad he didn't. I wouldn't want to see the disappointment on his face when he learned I'd deceived him. This summer, instead of going to Hawaii, Dad said we might go to Disneyland. I said that would be fine as long as Leslie gets to come. Last year in Hawaii, Mom insisted Kathy Galloway tag along so I'd have company. Mom's friends with Mrs. Galloway, and she thought I'd enjoy having someone close to my own age. I would have liked company, but it didn't work out. Kathy's 3 years older and wasn't interested in hanging around the hotel swimming pool with me. She was after men. Mom figured that out soon enough when she found her in the cocktail lounge flirting with a businessman. I bet Mom won't invite Kathy again for anything, which is all right by me. Holy Name Academy, Freshman Report Card, Leslie Adamski. Subject, Religion. First quarter, A+. Second quarter, A. Third quarter, A. Fourth quarter, A. French. First quarter, A. Second quarter, A. Third quarter, A. Fourth quarter, A+. Biology. First quarter, A. Second quarter, A+. Third quarter, A. Fourth quarter, A. English. First quarter, A+. Second quarter, A+. Third quarter, A+. Fourth quarter, A+. Algebra. First quarter, A-. Second quarter, A. Third quarter, A. Fourth quarter, A. Comments. Leslie is a good student and works hard. It is recommended that she be placed in the advanced class, geared toward those considering a college education. Bell's Bookstore, 455 Main Street, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. July 29, 1963. Dear Mrs. Lawton, the feminine mystique is in. At your request, I have set aside a copy for you. We look forward to seeing you soon. Ethel Cowan, Manager. Leslie's Diary, August 29, 1963. The most incredible thing happened yesterday. Hundreds of thousands of people gathered around the Washington Monument in our country's capital in a civil rights demonstration. It was on television and on the radio. Mom and I talked about what it meant to be a Negro in America. Several colored families live on the other side of the railroad tracks. Dad works with colored men at the mill. He calls them names Mom won't let me repeat. Mom said they're like everyone else. They bleed and sweat and breathe the same as us, despite what Dad says. I can hardly believe that the South treats people so differently just because their skin is a different color. And I told Mom that. I read that Negroes have a hard time finding a job or getting an education. That isn't fair. Mom was born and raised in Mississippi, and she said the Civil War was about more than slavery. She explained some of the South's history since the war between the states. That's what she calls it. And she helped me understand how much courage it took for this rally in Washington to happen. Then she recited a quote from an English writer named Samuel Johnson. I'm writing it down because I don't ever want to forget it. Courage is the greatest of all virtues, because if you haven't courage, you may not have an opportunity to use any of the others. I don't think I've ever realized how smart my mother is about life. And I didn't know who Samuel Johnson was until she talked about him. There's going to be a colored man speaking at the Pine Ridge Emmanuel Church on September 6th. And I told Mom I'd like to hear what he has to say. She didn't think that was a good idea, because it wouldn't be right for a Catholic girl to be seen inside a Protestant church. Although Mom said I couldn't go, I had the feeling she'd like to attend the meeting herself. If I had my driver's license and a car, I'd do it. Jillian's taking driver's education this summer. She thinks her parents might buy her a car. As it is now, her mother drives her to school every morning and her father picks her up every afternoon. I hate being 14. I want to be 16 and to be able to drive and hear the people I want to hear and meet the people I want to meet. Jillian's Diary, November 22, 1963. President Kennedy was killed today. Leslie and I were in religion class when the news came over the loudspeaker that the president had been shot. Sister Dorothy immediately had us get down on our knees and pray. No one knew then how serious it was. It wasn't long before we were released from school. Leslie and I went right over to church, and it was already full of people pleading with God to save our president. By the time I got home, I learned he was dead. I can't stop crying. Even my dad had tears in his eyes. Poor Jackie. She's the one I'm crying for. I can't bear this. It's so terrible. Everyone is watching television. Everyone is weeping. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't believe President Kennedy is dead. Farewell from John Kennedy by Leslie Adamski. Sorry I had to leave right away. I look down and smile at you each day. Little Patrick says to say hi. And so, my darlings, please don't cry. Caroline, I'd like to say how proud Daddy was of you that day, when you stood like a lady and watched me go by, and doing like Mommy, you tried not to cry. John, now you're the big man. Take care of Mommy the best that you can. You were just like a soldier, that salute was so brave. Thank you for the flag you put on my grave. And Jackie, I had no time for goodbyes. I'm sure you could read the farewell in my eyes. Watch over our children and love them for me. I'll treasure your love through eternity. Please carry on as you did before, until we all meet on heaven's bright shore. Remember I love you. Remember I care. I'll always be with you, though you don't see me there. This is in memory of the late John Fitzgerald Kennedy, whom I loved more than words can say. I pray that I will meet him in heaven one day. 1965. Holy Name Academy, January 20th, 1965. Demerit Slip, student Jillian Lawton. Offense, rolling up the uniform skirt above the knee. Holy Name Academy, 231st Street, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. January 20th, 1965. Dear Judge and Mrs. Lawton, enclosed is the demerit slip for Jillian, which I have had no choice but to issue. She has had repeated warnings about the length of her uniform skirt. Several of the junior girls have defied the rules, and each will be obliged to remain after school the first Friday of February to polish the gymnasium floor. I appreciate your cooperation in this unfortunate situation. Sincerely, Sister Agnes, Principal. Jillian's Diary, January 23, 1965. This whole detention thing is juvenile, and all because I rolled my skirt up. First, I detest wearing a uniform. I told Mom how much I hated it, but she didn't care. She says that a lot. I don't care, and we aren't going to talk about it. Sometimes I swear she treats me like I'm 10 years old. The other day I wanted to stand on my chair at the fancy new dining room table and scream to get her attention. How else can I get her to recognize that I'm 17 years old? The state of Washington trusts me enough to give me a license to drive a motorized vehicle. Dad even bought me a car to go back and forth to school. It seems that if the government thinks I'm mature enough to drive, I should be smart enough to figure out what to wear to school. Apparently, they think that if I had a choice, I'd wear something obnoxious like jeans and a sweatshirt. The truth is, my choices have been completely taken away from me. Since I'm forced into a ridiculous school uniform, my closet is full of dresses I never get a chance to wear. I have this fear that I'll be wearing a blue skirt and red blazer my entire life. I love my parents, especially my dad. Both Mom and Dad are swell, but at times they can be completely irrational. They're no better than my teachers when it comes to this uniform thing. Girls attending school in communist Russia wear uniforms. I don't know that for a fact, because no one really knows what's happening in Russia except spies. We talk about the Berlin Wall and the struggle for freedom, but we're not all that different right here in Pine Ridge. When I insisted that wearing uniforms was a form of communism because it enforced sameness and obliterated personal identity, Dad said he wasn't going to argue with me. I told him he was a coward, but in a joking way. Since everyone knows, my dad is probably one of the truest, kindest, fairest men in the entire courthouse. I could see that he was amused, and I know why. By proving my point with such a smart argument, I'm showing my parents that I'd be a good attorney. Actually, I like to argue. I enjoy flustering people and proving my point. It gives me a sense of satisfaction. I flustered the kid at the gas station the other day, but I didn't mean to. He was young, probably about 13. He wanted to wash my windshield but couldn't reach the middle of the glass, so I got out of my car and did it for him. Then his big brother showed up and finished the job for us both. I don't think any boy has ever affected me like this. His name was embroidered on his coveralls. Nick. He's the sexiest guy I've ever seen. One look told me he was a break-all-the-rules kind of guy. My heart was going crazy. I wasn't about to let him know the effect he had on me, so I casually stepped aside and let him take over. When he was finished, I paid him the $3.09 to fill up my tank. As soon as I pulled away, I looked in my rearview mirror and found Nick watching me. Then he grinned, and I nearly steered off the road. I felt that smile go right through me, the same way I do when the cat lies across my chest and purrs. I think I might be buying gas at the Texaco station a lot more often. Not soon, though. My driving privileges have been suspended for 2 weeks because of that demerit slip. I'm furious about it, but no amount of arguing would change my mother's mind. As far as I'm concerned, Mom is the unreasonable one in our family. P.S. I found out that Nick goes to Pine Ridge High, and he's a junior. Same as me. Leslie's Diary, February 5th, 1965. Jillian had a detention because of her skirt length and had to stay after school to polish the gym floor this afternoon, so I walked home alone. Buck Knowles saw me and stopped to offer me a ride. Buck is 21 and works at the mill with Dad. Because I kinda know him, I thought it would be okay to accept. He didn't remember that I was Mike's daughter and then tried to pretend that he did. He said he's noticed me before, looking all virginal, his word, in my academy uniform. It sounded like he's been interested in me for a long time. I've noticed him, too. Last week, Mom sent me down to the mill to collect Dad's paycheck, and I saw Buck. He looked at me, and I looked at him. I had my school uniform on then, too. The way he stared made me feel older than 16. Mom didn't see him drop me off at the house today, and I didn't mention that Buck had given me a ride. After I closed the car door, he leaned over and rolled down the side window and said he'd see me around. I know I'll be looking for him. March 4th, religion class. Jillian. Guess what? Buck Knowles came home from work with my dad last night and had dinner with the family. He's the guy I was telling you about who gave me a ride home last month. I haven't seen him since, and I was beginning to wonder if I ever would. Neither Buck nor my dad get along with the foreman, and they spent the entire night complaining about him. The best part is that Buck said he's coming to pick me up after school, so I won't need you to give me a ride home. I'll call you as soon as I can. Buck is so handsome. Leslie. P.S. I signed up for driver's ed, but I sure won't be driving any fancy cars. Murphy's Texaco, charge slip. May 3rd, 1965. Quantity, 10 gallons. Per gallon, 0.309. Total, $3.09. Attendant, Nick Murphy. Signed, Jillian Lawton. April 12, 1965. Dear Buck, Dad said he'd make sure you got my note. I'm sorry to hear about the foreman's accident. I hope he's on the mend soon and won't miss much work. I know how hard it is on our family when Dad's off for a long period of time. Dad said that both of you would be working a lot of overtime in the next couple of weeks, so I'll understand if I don't hear from you for a while. I did enjoy seeing your apartment and watching television with you. The news about Vietnam doesn't sound good, does it? Your place is small and a little messy, but that's okay. Arranging the empty beer cans like a pyramid against the wall is a clever idea. You're right. I haven't had much experience with kissing, but I did like it. Well, most of it. Leslie. Murphy's Texaco, charge slip. May 7th, 1965. Quantity, 9.5 gallons. Per gallon, 0.309. Total, $2.94. Attendant, Nick Murphy. Signed, Jillian Lawton. Dance card for Jillian Lawton, junior-senior prom, Moulin Rouge, May 15, 1965. 1. Scott McDougall. 2. Scott McDougall. 3. Scott McDougall. 4. Marvin Waterman. 5. Scott McDougall. 6. Scott McDougall. 7. Scott McDougall. 8. Scott McDougall. 9. Buck Knowles. 10. Scott McDougall. June 4th, Latin class. Dearest Leslie, can you believe this is our last day of school? As of this afternoon, we're officially seniors. We should celebrate. Mom and Dad want me to go to Hawaii with them again, which means no real job for me. I hate Hawaii. I don't understand why we can't go to San Francisco instead. I'd love it there. I know I would. Did you hear that My Fair Lady with Audrey Hepburn is starting next Wednesday? Do you want to go, or do you have a date with Buck? You're still seeing a lot of him, aren't you? Meet me after school, and we'll celebrate being seniors. Jillian. French class. Jillian. Sorry, I can't go out with you after school this afternoon. I got a call from the library. I have an interview for a summer job. I'd just about given up hope of getting hired. Say a prayer that I get the job. This is important. Besides, the library pays more than babysitting. I'll call you the minute I know. Buck said he'd take me to the drive-in tonight. Are you and Scott doing anything special? Leslie. August 10, 1965. Dear Leslie, here I am in Hawaii again. Sigh. I wish you were here. I can't tell you how bored I am with nothing to do but read and laze around the beach every day. I miss you and Scott so much. I'm counting the days until I return. I hope your summer is more exciting than mine. See you soon. Love, Jillian. U.S. Postage, 3 cents. Miss Leslie Adamski, 220 Railroad Avenue, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. August 25th, 1965. Dear Jillian, I was so glad to hear from you. Is the water in Hawaii truly that blue? I'm sorry you're bored, especially when there's so much happening elsewhere. Did you hear about all the rioting in California? The television news has been full of it every night. Last night they reported that there were 20,000 National Guard troops in Watts. So far, 34 people have died. And after 5 days of rioting, it's still going on. I didn't think anything this terrible would ever happen in our country. Mom said it all has to do with civil rights and moral wrongs. I won't tell you what my dad and Buck said, but I think you can guess. Every day before I start work at the library, I've been checking into different kinds of scholarships. You wouldn't believe how many are available. Mom's been encouraging me to apply at the University of Washington. I know your parents are set on you going to Barnard College, but that's in New York, and Jillian, I just can't afford it. At the same time, I can't imagine attending college without you. The Soroptimists offer a $1,000 scholarship. $1,000 would pay all my expenses for the first year at the state university. I've been thinking about it, and I'd like to get into the nursing program. My mom thinks nursing would be a good choice for me. My dad doesn't know anything about this yet. Mom said she'd deal with him when the time came. I'm so excited to think about where we'll be a year from now. But we have to finish high school first, and I'm going to need top grades if I plan on getting any scholarships. I'm putting every cent I earn into a savings account. But I did buy myself a pair of bell-bottom trousers. Buck said I have a cute behind, and he'd like me to wear miniskirts. Can you imagine what Sister Agnes would say if she saw me in one of those? I miss you so much. At least 10 times a day I think of something I want to tell you. 5 weeks has never seemed so long. I know you're sick and tired of Hawaii and that you're missing Scott, but do try and have a good time. Call me the minute you're back. Until then, I remain your friend forever, Leslie. August 27th, 1965. Dear Scott, just a postcard to let you know how much I miss you. Before you ask, I'm wearing your class ring so every guy here will know I'm your girl. Tell everyone hello for me. See you soon. Love, Jillian. U.S. Postage, 3 cents. Scott McDougall, 4520 Country Club Lane, Pine Ridge, Washington, 98005. Leslie's Diary. October 13, 1965. Buck phoned twice, but I had Susan tell him I wasn't home. I don't want to talk to him, not after what happened last week. When he picked me up for our date, he'd been drinking. But I thought everything would be all right. It wasn't. And Friday was the worst night of my life. He said it was my fault, and that I can't lead a man on and then turn him off. He was so rough and angry, and it hurt so badly. Jillian and I used to discuss what it would be like the first time. And this wasn't anything beautiful or tender. Buck hurt me. I know I should go to confession, but I don't want to talk about this. Father Morris wouldn't understand. He's a man, and he'd say I was as much to blame as Buck. It wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything to lead Buck into thinking that was what I wanted. We started kissing, and when I saw he was getting really worked up, I tried to stop, but that only made Buck want me more. Next thing I knew, his hands were on my breasts, and then he pinned me down on his davenport, and he'd shoved my panties down. When Dad came home from work tonight, he wanted to know why I wasn't talking to Buck. I told him we'd had a fight, which we did. And Dad got mad at me. My own father sided with Buck. I've decided to have